Okay, Shalom Uvracha to everybody. Welcome back to our Friend Family Shir, hosted by Congregation Shari Tefillah. This year should be a zechus for the Aliyah Neshama Latov and Zechiril and Neshama Tova for Miriam Front, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. Shalom should have a Helig Aliyah in the merit of these Devei Torah. We continue to thank the Front family very much for their unwavering, outstanding commitment, really, to the, this Harbatzos HaTorah, the Zecher Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. And of course, Baruch Hu should pay them back, Tova Michu Pelas, for their upholding of Torah, the Zecher Nishmas, the Ezros Hashem. All right, so a couple of important announcements. One is that next week, please mark your calendars. It's the same Zoom as always, but Shir's at 7 p.m. Wednesday night. I know it might not be convenient for some people. It's either that or cancel, as I'm going out of town later that night, very late. So because I have to cancel the... Okay, just listen. Let's just make this easy. January 17th, Be'ezrat Hashem, Shir is at 7 p.m. Zoom only. If you can join at that time, as Hashem, you could listen to the recording at 8:30, as the usual time. On January 24th, there is no Shir. Okay? January 17th, Shari Zoom Shir only at 7 p.m. January 24th, no Shir. January 31st, we should all be well. We resume our usual schedule. So please know that is very important. Okay, that's announcement number one, calendar change. I told the Shari office they will be sending out the email and such. I'll post it on the chat, but I'm giving you the heads up. The other thing I wanted to say is we're finishing tonight the topic of Pakod Yivkod and Yosef HaTzadik. I'll tell you something funny someone told me, but there's been a request. Somebody requested that we go back to the Sefer. She said to me, you know, I think I enjoy this year more than the learning from the Sefer, but we came so far, I would like to finish the Sefer. So I said, okay, I hear, I accept. So Billy Nader, next week we are going to resume in the Sefer, okay? The third thing is very funny, because tonight we're going to continue to talk about Pakod Yivkod, which is Yosef HaTzadik. So someone reached out to me the other night, and she said, you know, we're in Sefer Shemot. She's like, I really missed Yosef. She said, your in-depth Parsha Shir this week was about Yosef. Pirkei Avos Shir was about Yosef. And the funny thing is that tonight we're also talking about Pakod Yivkod and Yosef on his deathbed. So I guess she's not the only one who misses Yosef. It seems to be we all miss Yosef. We're just going to finish up where we are holding. Okay, so three important announcements. Next week, Wednesday evening, Zoom only, 7 p.m. The week after that, no Shir. What's the next announcement? We're going back to the Sefer. There was something in between those two, no? Someone requested that we go back to the Sefer, and I don't remember. Okay, if you remember, you can post on the chat. Oy vavoy. Okay, Baruch Hashem, atochonein la'adam das, ma'lamei la'enosh bina. Okay, so what we are speaking about is that Yosef and his dad, we're in the Geula. Parshas Va'era is the part that someone wants to go back to the Sefer. That was the third thing. The date, Yosef, back to the Sefer. If I forgot anything, you could let me know. Okay. We are in Sefer Gula. Sefer Shmos is the Sefer of Redemption, the Redemption of Bnei Yisrael from Shibur Mitzrayim. But how do they know that the Redeemer is at hand? How do they really know that Moshe is the actual Redeemer and not a false Messiah? How should they know? They've been there for hundreds of years. He's been in Midian. He's had no connection to them. What is the secret password? Shani said last week, how will we know when Mashiach comes? What's our secret password? So how will they know that Moshe Abeinu is really here? So just the psukim, the end of Sefer Bereishis, the very end. What is the last thing that Yosef says? Vayomer Yosef. Oh, I have two things I want to tell you. Vayomer Yosef el achav, and Yosef said to his brothers, Anochi meis, I'm dying. Ve'elokim pakod yivkod aschem. Elokim will surely remember and redeem you. Ve'al aschem in Eretz Hazos, and he'll take you up from the land to land that he swore to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Yosef made the children of Israel take an oath, saying, pakod yivkod. God will surely redeem and remember you. 2 weeks ago we spoke about wise four times, and he will take my essence, my bones out of here. And Yosef died at the age of 110, and he was embalmed, and they placed him in a coffin in Egypt. So we have this Mesorah of Pakod Yivkod. I actually wanted to tell you, two people reached out to me, comments from last time Shir, and I saved it. Okay, so Rachi Fried reached out and she said something very interesting. Pakod in Gematria, Pei Kuf Dalet, is 184. Pei is 80, Kuf is 100, Dalet is 4. Pakod, Pei Kuf Dalet, which is the Shosh, is 184. K Kates, the end, because we said that Pakod Yivkod comes at the end of the Golas. Kates is 190, Kuf is 100, Tzadi is 90. The difference between them is 6. Arachi suggested Pakod and Kates until 6 Sivan was added and Kabbal Sotar was factored in, the true Kates of Geula was not yet achieved. So I thought that that was actually very beautiful. When do you reach the final end? When is it the final redemption? Yetziat Mitzrayim is only the physical redemption. But the actual redemption did not occur unless we had a spiritual redemption. A person could be physically free, but spiritually enslaved. Rahman al-Tzlan, we see many elements in society. Rahman al-Tzlan, lo aleichem lo aleinu, where people are physically free, yet their essence, their emotions, their psychology, their psyche, their spirituality is completely enslaved to different elements in society. So I thought that that was very, very nice. Rachi said, Pakod is 184. Kates is 190, the difference is 6, because until 6 Sivan, and the day of Matan Torah, Yom HaShishi, Rashi says, they're until the 6 of Sivan, so until they accepted the Torah, you cannot really achieve the ultimate Pakod, you can't achieve the ultimate redemption. I thought that's beautiful. It relates to this week's Parsha, the fourth Lashon of Geula is Vakachti Eschem Lila'an, Vayisi Lechem Lelokim, that is Perek Vav Pasuk Zayin, that is Matan Torah. So embedded into the Lashon of Geula is Matan Torah. It's not only about physical freedom, it's spiritual. I thought that was very beautiful. Without spirituality of Torah in our lives, we have nothing. We mamash have nothing. That's one. Okay. And then Esti Klein reached out. Both of these women learn with us on the Zoom every week, Rachi Fried and Esti Klein. And Esti Klein pointed out something very, very nice. When Moshe actually goes to the people, remember it says, Vayamein ha'am vayishmu ki pakad Hashem es b'nei Yisrael. And I asked the Kasha last week, why does it only say one pakad? When Yosef gives the Shvuah, it's a double lashon. And when Hashem appears to Moshe at the burning bush, he uses a double lashon, pakod pakadot yaschem. So Yosef transmits it with a double lashon. Hashem introduces himself to Moshe with a double lashon. But when Moshe goes to the people at the end of Perek Dalid, they hear ki pakad Hashem es b'nei Yisrael. So why is it only a single lashon? So Esti Klein suggested as follows. You connected the two times it says Pakod Yivkod to the four different exiles. So you remember 2 weeks ago we said perhaps it says Pakod Yivkod four times by Yosef because he's telling us a promise that just like you're going to be redeemed from here, you'll be redeemed from the Arba Galus as well. Maybe it says, Esti suggested, Pakod only one time, but Moshe actually goes to the B'nai Yisrael and he says the redemption is here. If the magic word is Pakod Yivkod or Pakod Pakadati, why does he say Pakod one time? And she says because Moshe was only coming to redeem the people from the current Galus, from Egypt. And perhaps alluding to future Galus at this point would be too much for the B'nai Yisrael to bear. They were in a very vulnerable state. In fact, on this week's parasha, when he comes with the Lashon Ke'ula, the Pasuk says, Perek Vav Pasuk Tes, V'lo Shamu Al Moshe Mikotz Aruch HaMe'avod HaKasha. So they couldn't even hear about this exile. He's going to say, Pakod Yivkod, which we suggested is for the Arba Galus. He's going to tell them, oh, you know what? Your children will be enslaved and they'll witness the destruction of the first temple. And then they'll face Haman who wants to destroy them. And then they'll face Yavan who wants them to assimilate. And then they'll be in Galus Rumi for almost 2,000 years. That's what you should tell them. So perhaps it only says Pakad one time because Moshe is saying the redemption from this Galus is at hand. We don't need to tell them about all the future Galus, which is alluded to by Rashi. Ahiyah, Asher, Ahiyah. Moshe says, I'm going to tell them about other exiles. Hashem says, you're right. So I wanted to share those two things. One from Rachi Fried about the difference between Pakad and Kates, 6, Matan Torah, spiritual redemption, and Esti Klein suggested about why it only says Pakad one time. Okay, so that's Yosef, what he says on death. But those are the magic words of Amunah. Those are the magic words of Amunah. And like we said, it needs to give us great amunah for the times in which we are going through. I just saw today Shai Groucher. You know, he's going around revolutionizing the matzav in Eretz Yisrael. So the first, I don't know, where is it? The first orphan baby girl of Iron Swords War has been born, he posted. The widow of Ro'i Moshe Hashem Yinkom Dama, who was killed on Simchas Torah when he went out to save his brothers and sisters, gave birth tonight, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, to a healthy baby girl. The mother named the baby girl Gili. This was the name her father, Zichron Levracha, chose for her before he was killed. The emotional widow told me, Shai is writing this, the emotional widow told me about the incredibly difficult experience of having to give birth after what happened to her husband Hashem Yinkom Dama. It was hard mentally and physically. I heard my husband talking to me and I cried out to Hashem to please bring Mashiach already so I can see my husband once again. We just began the month of Shvat. The letters of Shvat, Shin, Beis, Tes, perhaps we can say it stands for Shin Nishma Besuras Tovos. May we hear good news. The month has begun with a simcha mazel tov. Thank you to all who are helping with her needs. A nurse, a stroller, babysitters, a place to relax and recover when she leaves the hospital. Someone actually reached out to me and she says they can help her with everything except her husband. And what did she say? I said, your point is well taken and well said. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see and hear. So when we are in the throes of exile and we suffer the pain, they were throwing the baby boys into the Nilus River. It's not hyperbole. It's not an exaggeration. This is what was happening. So it's very hard sometimes when it's very, very dark. But the words of Amunah that instilled faith and hope in them for so many generations was Pakod Yivkod. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes at the burning bush, he says to Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, you should say to them, Hashem, the God of your fathers, appeared to me, the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, saying, Pakod, Pakad, Ati Aschem. And that's how they're going to know that the Gula is really here. And then when Moshe goes to the Bnei Yisrael, and I'm going to begin by quoting of Sham Shafal Hirsch, Vaya Amein Ha'am, the people trusted, the people believed, Amein Emunah, Vayishmu Ki Pakad Hashem Es Bnei Yisrael. One time, okay. And he saw their affliction, and they bowed their heads, and they bowed down. Okay, I'm quoting from Rav Sham Shafal Hirsch first in his commentary to Chumash. The common expression to believe in something, says Rav Sham Shafal Hirsch, this is Rav Sham Shafal Hirsch, the Perek Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. The common expression to believe in something does not have the same meaning as the concept of emunah. To believe in something suggests a lack of complete conviction. To believe in something suggests a lack of complete conviction. One does not sacrifice one's life and substance for that which one merely believes. Amuna denotes much more than belief. Amuna or laha amin, ani ma amin be'amuna shleima b'vias HaMashiach. He says it doesn't just mean I believe in something. Nobody says sacrifices their life or substance for something that you believe in. Amuna or laha amin in the biblical sense means to recognize what is told to us is amin, the firm foundation on which we rely and to which we cling. Aleph Mem Nun means the firm foundation on which we rely. Without a foundation, what happens to the building? If there's no foundation, the building could be very, very beautiful. But if there's no foundation, what's going to happen? All things are going to come crashing down. Amen is the firm foundation on which we rely, to which we cling, and which is to be our own main. What is an omen? Aleph of Mem Nun, Bahaloscha. That's exactly right. Bahaloscha Perikir Aleph. Moshe says about himself, am I the nursemaid of the people? Isn't it interesting that Aleph Mem Nun, which of first says is much more than to believe in something. It is the firm found. What does it mean when we say we have Amunah? It's very hard because when we translate words of Lashon HaKodesh, we lose the insight of what we're really saying. He says, what is Amunah? And this is really what we're trying to uncover in this shiur and discover and strengthen. Amen is the firm foundation on which we rely, and the thing and to which we cling, and it is our omein. Now, an omein is someone who rears the child, who raises the child, who nurses the child. That means without that sustenance, the child, God forbid, will not be able to be. Just like an omein raises, guides, and educates the child, our emunah is our omein. It guides us and educates us. That means every single thing in our life related to emunah, by the way, everything in our life we should do should be related to emunah, is our guide. So what's our guide in life? Just as an omein is the nursemaid of the child, so too our emunah is what sustains us in all times, in every place. Moshe Rabbeinu says, here we go. It's Perek Yud Aleph and Parshas Baloscha, Pasuk Yud Beis. The people are complaining. Okay? Not okay, but whatever. Just like us, we also complain. The people are complaining. Ha'anochi harisi eskol amazah. So Moshe says to Hashem, what do you want from me? Harisi. What's harisi? Harayon. Did I conceive this whole people? Imanochi elditu. Did I give birth to them? He's describing himself in Lashonos. That's like a mother who has a child. Did I conceive? Was I pregnant with these people? Did I give birth to these people? Ki somar aylei, that you say to me, sa eyu b'chekecha, carry the nation in your bosom, kasher yisa. What do you think the next word is? Ha omein es hayonek. Did I conceive these people, says Moshe? Did I give birth to these people? Yet you say to me, meaning God, you say to me, carry them in your bosom like an omein, a nursemaid carries a yonake, a nursling baby. But the point is that Moshe compares himself clearly to a mother of a child. Did I conceive? Did I birth? You're telling me to carry the child like a nursemaid carries her baby in her bosom. So Rav Shamsher follows, we were at my brother and sister-in-law's for the Friday night Suuda, not this past Shabbos, but the Shabbos for my niece. She's in TMM in 8th grade. And she told over at Dvar Torah, it was Parshas Vayechi, on the difference between the Shorish of Hey Asfu and He Ki Kavtsu. Because Yaakov says at his deathbed to the Shvatim, Hey Asfu Vagida Lachem Esesha Yikrel Achris Ayamim, Bikesh Yaakov the Galashis Akates. And then he says, He Kavtsu B'nei Yaakov. So he talks about gathering and gathering, but two different Shoshim. So she tells us throughout Torah, which I was very taken by, on the difference between Asaf and Kavetz. And I said to her, this is amazing. I said, who's Dvar Torah? She's like, I know the teacher. That. I said, this sounds exactly like it's Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch. I said, could you please ask the teacher? And she got back to me and she said, it's Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch. I said, did you tell the teacher? My aunt knew she didn't have the source, but she was distinguishing between Ayin Aleph Samech Pei and Kuf Beis Tzadi. And I said, this sounds exactly like Rav Hirsch. And it was. And it's because of Rav Hirsch that it's made me focus on Shoreshim. So is it an accident that a nursemaid is called an Omein? I just brought you a Shoresh, a proof. Very good. Al Pasuk Yud Beis Bamidbar. And our Amuna is the exact same Shoresh. Now, without that nursemaid, the child cannot survive. The child needs the nursemaid to nurse it, to care for it, to sustain the life-giving force in it. Shamsher Falher says that's what our Amun is. It doesn't just mean to believe in something. It is the firm foundation on which we rely. Where would we be as a nation without Amun HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Especially because of all the travails that Am Yisrael goes to as the chosen nation. And it is this Aleph Mem Nun to which we cling and which is to be our Omein, which guides us and educates us. The divine to which Israel gives its emunah, we give our emunah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the firm foundation, true beyond all doubt, for every aspect of life. Every aspect of life must be touched by, just like an omein takes care of the yonek in every aspect of its life, our emunah must nurture us in every aspect of our life. Israel accepts as true only what accords with this one criterion of truth. What is the one criterion of truth? That we have a firm foundation of Amunah B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he's commenting to when Moshe comes, and what does it say? Vaya Amen Ha'am. Ayushmuki Pakad Hashem, Espinesha, the people believed. They heard that Hashem redeemed and remembered Israel. Moshe's words, therefore, brought the people tidings, says Rav Shamsher Rafael Hashem. He brings them a Basura Tova. It's interesting because first they believe. It's Perak Dalit Pasuk Lamed Aleph. But then when they go to Paro and the work gets worse, what happens? They don't believe so much anymore. Why are you here? Why did you come? From the time you came, it got worse. Go back to Midian and be a shepherd. This is what you came here for. Now Paro says we're lazy. Now we're not getting supplies. Now there's no straw. And the quota of books doesn't diminish. But initially, and in this week's parsha, when he comes to them with the Arba Shlash Hamisha Lashono Ge'ula, it specifically says they could not listen to him. Because Ruach, from shortness of spirit, Ume Avoda Kasha. But when he uses the word Kipakar Hashem Vaya Amin, Moshe's words brought the people tidings, says Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch. Kipakad, that God, what does Kipakad mean? God reckoned the time had arrived to invest Israel with the fate that has been promised them. It's the time, it's the Kates, the time has come to invest Israel, to infuse Israel, to trust Israel with the fate that has been promised them. What's the fate that has been promised them? By the Brish Ben Absar, that I will put out my wrath on the Egyptians. It unfolds in this week's parasha, the first seven makos. Dam through Barad, blood through hail, are in this week's parasha. And then they're going to empty out the Egyptians by getting reparations. So Kipakad means God reckoned the time had arrived to invest Israel with the fate that had been promised them. And the Pasuk also says, Kipakad Hashem es b'nei Yisrael. Ki ra'ah es oniyam. He saw their affliction. Ki ra'ah. God had seen their affliction. I.e., that even if the redemption should not come immediately, they could expect that God would watch over them to protect them from any further injustice. So even if they weren't redeemed at this point, there would be no further injustice. Again, it just shows you how the ways of Hashem are hidden from us. Because Al-Pshi Pshat, once Paro makes the work harder, isn't that another form of injustice? And then another form of injustice. So it's a further test of Amunah, of Hashem promises the Kates is here and there won't be any more injustice, and then there is. So we don't understand. Furthermore, it says, Vayikdu, bowing the head, says Rav Hirsch, almost down to the ground, while keeping one's lower body in an erect position. So how would you do that? Bow your head almost down to the ground, no, keeping your lower body's in an erect position, your lower body's standing, but the top half bends down. It is probably the expression of a person who submits. See, Rav Hirsch sees, I mean, everyone sees, all the commentators, the Torah, true commentators, see meaning in everything. What is symbolized by Vayikdu? The lower body remains erect, standing. The upper body from the head bends all the way down almost to the ground. It is an expression of a person who submits his mind and his thoughts to the higher power, I mean, in Kodesh Baruch Hu, because the fact is that your whole body's not laying down, your head is all the way down. What's your head? Your head's considered the place of your mind and your thoughts. So it symbolizes that when a person has full amunah, I'm not, halavai, but when a person has full amunah, they understand that they submit their mind and all their thoughts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that happens to me is exactly what Hashem wants to happen to me. Wherever I am is exactly where Hashem wants it to be. It doesn't mean you always understand it. It means that this is what has to be, because I am living a life that is founded on the firm foundation upon which we rely and cling, and our Amunah is our own main that guides and educates us. Finally, Vayishtachavu, they prostrated themselves onto the ground. That is to say, they placed themselves entirely. So he's saying that this is two different stages. Vayikdu, Vayishtachavu is not the same thing. Vayikdu represents submitting your mind and thoughts to the higher power. And then, totally laying flat on the ground, they place themselves entirely with all their being at God's disposal. So that's Rav Sham Shem Rosh, a very, very powerful explanation. I don't want to use the word translation because that's absolutely not correct.
Visual.
What?
It's a visual.
Vayikdu Vayishtachvu is a visual.
It's very visual. You can kind of like
picture
in your mind.
Correct. It is very visual, which is interesting because it shows you the power of words. The power of just, I'm pointing at something else, that the power of words can be so powerful that they can evoke a visual image, also the power of the imagination, when it's not actually a visual image. But I think that it's a very strong and clear definition of what Amunah is and what Amunah should be, especially because he ties it into the shorish of an omein. And when you think of a yonik with a yomein, an omein with a yonik, and how vitally important that relationship is for the nursing child, we understand a little bit more what it means for us to be Balei Amunah. Okay, any more comments on that? Because now I'm going to go to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein said so. Okay, let me just open up. Okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein says as follows. Remember last week we saw, it was very, very interesting, that Rashi tells us that when Yosef says, Pakod Yifkod, remember what Rashi says? I think Miriam from Australia, who's not here, is the one who asked the question that Rashi goes from Melbourne. What was the question? Oh, it was a very, which I also never thought about. Every year I learn Chumash and Rashi. Okay, fine, whatever. That's what Rashi says. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi writes, why Pakor Yivkor? Yosef says it two times. One is for Yaakov and one is for Yosef. This is a very big kasha because the reality is that Yaakov never said this. It just shows you how hard it is for us to move away from preconceived notions of Torah. It's just an example of how hard it is to read Torah with objective eyes. We just take so many things for granted that we don't always pay enough attention to what's being said to note that there's really a discrepancy there. Yes?
I think we assume...
Wait, talk louder, please.
I think we assume that Rashi knows more than us.
That
Rashi knows more than us. So it's like hard to question Rashi.
Okay, so obviously, It's not an assumption, it's an absolute fact. But the way Rashi words something, that's the Gadlus of Rashi, that the first grader learns Rashi and the Gadol Dor learns Rashi, and they see totally different things. There are more than 20, I forget what number, way more than 20, supra-commentaries to Rashi, the Sifsei Chachamim perhaps being the most famous. It's not a stira to question Rashi. It depends what level we're learning Rashi on. Rashi, of course, knew more than any of us in this door. But Rashi sometimes begs to be questioned. L'toelos, l'shem shemayim. Not, you know, the Ben HaChacham has a question, and the Ben Rashi also has a question. But the Ben HaChacham asks a question. So there's nothing wrong, not even that. It's okay to question Rashi if it's a Torah dick perspective and kasha, and that's why there's so many super commentaries to Rashi, because Rashi, on the surface, he seems so simple. That's the unbelievable Ruach HaKodesh dickness of Rashi and the godless of Rashi. On the surface, it just seems so simple, but there's really many questions on Rashi which he wants us to discover and uncover. I agree with you. Everyone agrees with you. It's a fact. But it doesn't mean we can never investigate deeper into what Rashi's telling us. Okay. Questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu we can't do, but questioning Rashi we could do. And the Mefarshim do. They question, what does Rashi mean? So this is actually a very good question. Okay. So I'm going to quote from Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Okay, two comments. Right, so Nancy says she's grateful for Rashi. He's simple, only deceptively. Nancy, I like your comment.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. Nancy's learning with us for a lot of years. Okay, sorry, many of us. Nancy, shiny girl that says she misses you next to her. And you used to be sitting there next to her, and now she misses you. All right, let's go. So I'm quoting from Moshe Feinstein Zatzal in his Sefer Kol Ram, who addresses this. And what do we learn from this? This is also a very, very powerful lesson in Amuna. So from Am Shamsha, also on Pakod Pakadati. These are all lessons in Amuna from Pakod Pakadati. So we just learned of Shamsha and Fala Hirsch, who really defines for us what Amuna means and how it relates to Kasher Yisa HaOmein Es HaYonik. That is our Amuna directly in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Moshe is going to bring out a different aspect of Amunah from Pakadati, okay? Rav Hirsch is speaking about our Amunah directly in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe brings out a different aspect of Amunah, which we also must all have as Torah observant, Torah living, loving, practicing Jews. So he quotes the two psukim from the end of Yosef's life. Vayomer Yosef el Achav Anochi Meis v'alkim pakod yivkod eschem v'alaschem min aretz hazos al aretz asher nishba, etc. Vayash b'Yosef v'sbnei Yisrael emor pakod yivkod alkim eschem. Licha ora, shnei psukim halalu hei midvarav shel Yosef. So Moshe says, what does it seem? Not what does it seem, it is that the reality is that these two verses are the words of Joseph on his deathbed. You know, this is the third day in a row, I'm not joking, that I'm giving a shiur on Yosef. They're all totally different. I said before he came in, someone texted me last night, she's like, you know, I was seeing this, I really miss Yosef. And then she said, Monday night shiur is about Yosef, tonight shiur is about Yosef, unbeknownst to her, tonight shiur is also about Yosef. So apparently she's not the only one who misses Yosef. Okay, here we go. L'chaora, it's not on purpose. It's mamish actually not on purpose. L'chaora, and by the way, it's only because after Kasim when you came over to me and you said, oh, beautiful. You said, isn't that the words that Moshe says when he comes to free the Jews? L'chaora, shnei psukim halalu heimin devarav shel Yosef. Okay, so these two psukim from the end of Yosef's life, the second to last and the third to last pasuk at the end of Sefer Bereishis are the words of Yosef. V'yesh l'tmoa, dehine ala pasuk v'parshish shmos. And we have to wonder, because in the pasuk on Parsha Shmos, so not only do we connect the end of Yosef's life and Parsha Shmos, but so do all the Mefarshim. The pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe, "Vishamu l'kolecha," Parakimah Pasukit Ches. They will listen to your voice. Uvasa Ata Vizikne Yisrael Amelech Mitzrayim. They will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt. This is Hashem telling Moshe at the burning bush that you have a mission to carry out. Kas of Rashi, Rashi says there, Vishamu the Kolacha Me'alehem. They will listen to your voice on their own. Why? Mikavan Shatomar Lahem Lashon Ze Yishmu the Kolacha. Because once you say to them the magic words, they listen to your voice. Shekvar Simon Ze Masur Biadam. Because this sign, this omen, this sign, Simon, was given over Masur, like from a Masorah. This was a Masorah in their hands. Mi Yaakov and Mi Yosef. From Yaakov and Yosef, Shebeloshon Zehem Negalim. That in this language they were redeemed. He is quoting from Sefer Shemos, Rav Moshe, Perikim Apasukit Ches. Listen carefully.
He also says from Yaakov.
What?
So he also says from Yaakov.
Exactly. That's exactly what I wanted to just say. Exactly. So, chapter 3, verse 16, at the burning bush. Hashem, so Moshe says to Hashem, how will they know you're Emestip, that I'm Emestip? What should I tell them? Hashem says, chapter 3, verse 16, Pakol Pakadli Tiaschem. When you say those words, they're going to believe you, and you should say, I'm taking you out from the affliction of Egypt to the land of the seven nations, land flowing with honey and milk. Milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice. Vashamu the Kalacha. This is chapter 3, verse 18. And you will go with the elders of Israel to the king of Egypt, and you will say, Hashem, the God of the Hebrews, called upon us, and we're going for 3 days in the desert to have a yanta for Hashem. And Rashi says, listen to this, Vishamulu kalecha, me'alein, on their own, mikeven sh'amar alhem lashon zem, miyad yishmulu kalecha, once you speak these magic words, immediately they will listen, shekvar simen zem masur b'yidah mi'yakov v'mi'yosef, because this is a misorah from Yaakov and Yosef. Shebeloshon zehim nigalim. With this language, they are redeemed. Yaakov amar, Elokim pakod yivkod eschem. Quoting the third to last pasuk in Bereishis. Rashi says, the redemption will surely come with the magic words. Yosef amar lachahem pakod yivkod Elokim eschem. Then he quotes the next pasuk. Yosef said the same magic words. End of Rashi. So clearly Rashi's begging us to ask this question. Now, if we notice it on our own or not is a different story. In my case, no. Alamaisa, the Mefarshim, the Gedolim, our leaders, they notice that something is very strange. So Rav Moshe gives us a different answer. Rav Moshe says, okay, he quotes Rashi, which I just quoted to you. Yaakov says, chapter 50, verse 24. Yosef says, chapter 50, verse 25. Umivuar Berashi, Shabbatchila Amar Hasiman, Shahaya Lahem, Mi Yaakov. And it's clear from Rashi that this Siman, how should I translate Siman is a good word? Sign? The sign, this marking, the sign, this omen, was given to them from Yaakov. Uba Pasuk Hasheni, and in the second Pasuk, Amar Hasiman, Shu Atzmo Nasan Lahem. Yosef is saying that he himself gave them this Siman. Remember, he's referring to the second and third last Psukim in Bereishis. So apparently the first one is attributed to Yaakov. And Yosef made the children of Israel take an oath saying, it seems to be that Rashi is saying that the first one is attributed to Yaakov, even though there is nowhere in Chumash that Yaakov actually says this. But the second verse on his deathbed, his last statement, he's telling them himself. But if you look in the whole chapter, Perek Nun, chapter 50, when did Yaakov die? At the end of Perek Mem Tes. So Rav Moshe says, but if you look in the Psukim that precede this exchange, they are all said by who?
Yosef.
V'nira lomar. This is Kol Ram for your reference, Parshas Vayichi Siman Chaf. V'nira lomar. And it appears that we could say, why are you smiling?
No.
Oh, so last night I was teaching, and a couple of the girls were smiling. So sometimes I think when someone smiles, it means they know it already. You know, like you smile because you know this. So I said, why are you smiling? So Adam said, I'm just excited for what you're going to say. I said, do you know what I'm going to say? She said, no, but I'm excited. And then...
I know I'm excited. That's
say it again.
I said, I know I'm excited.
Yeah, she was serious. And then today, I was at the Nautilus. And again, one of the women was smiling. I said, why are you smiling? She says, because I can't wait to hear what you're going to say. Baruch Hashem. So we should always be excited such from such Ma'arim. The Torah should ignite us and excite us. I was at a different shiur this morning in Flatbush. It's a parsha class for seniors. You'll hear her age in a minute. Shaticha Ad Mary Vashem Shana. She came over to me. She said to me, before I started learning with you, I never went to share my life. She said to me, I'm 88 years old. I promise. And I never learned Torah before I met you. She joins this parasha class for seniors 2 days a week. She says, I call in every single Monday and every single Wednesday. I said, you never learned before this? She said, it's a long story. I'm a balas teshuva. I think one of her kids married. She said, someone observant. She became, she said, I never learned and I'm 88 years old. I said, how do you feel about the class? She said, I love them. So I don't always understand everything you're saying. So when you translate, like, this is someone who needs everything translated, okay? She didn't learn until she was over 80 years old, ever, in her life, she told me. So if I don't translate, she said, it's hard for me. So I didn't translate, she has everything translated, but she said, I can understand more of it. She said, I love it. I was so moved. I was so humbled. I said to her, can I please take a picture with you? I was so in awe of someone who comes to Torah by choice totally, not because she has a background. She has no background. Not because she's over 80 years old when she started learning. She says, I love it. I said, I took a picture. I said, can I please take a picture with you? I said to her, you are giving me such chizak. My schedule, can I know her? Baruch Hashem. I don't know if I should say kin yerbu. I should say I know same layout car. It's a little bit... It's a little indescribable right now. Thank you, Hashem. I said to her, you are giving me chizak and you remind me why I do what I do. I was so humbled and so moved. I was in awe. Why did I say that? Because you're smiling, Baruch Hashem. We should always be smiling, no matter age or day. Hashem should give us a co-host. Tain and all, if someone got a phone call, that's my favorite. And they get a phone call. I think to myself, I should be almost 100 years old and going to a Torah lecture and getting a phone call while I'm in the middle of the lecture. All right, so now we have to answer the stira. The Nira Lomar, remember Moshe's Kasha. Everyone has this Kasha, apparently, except for us, because I learned Rashi on the level of the first grader, but the Gedolim learned Rashi on the level of the Gedolei Ador. So it's, Yaakov never said this. So first we learn of Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. Kasher Yisra, Omein, Esa Yonek. The Yonek cannot survive without the Omein. A Jew cannot survive without a Muna. It is not, I believe in something. It's the foundation of who we are. Without that amunah, we cease to exist. That's what it means to have amunah on Kosh Baruch. I'm not saying I'm there. I'm just telling you what Rav Hirsch defines it as. V'nira lomar, says Rav Moshe. Shekan nemer hachiyuv. He brings us a different aspect. For a Jew to have amunah, we need to have amunah about Kosh Baruch. Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin by Oz Yashir, by Yimid B'Hashem Moshe Avdo, 1431 Shemos. You have to have amunah in yourself. I'm not getting into now. It's not Abikorsus. It's not atheism. Shem Shadam Tzarech L'Amin Kosh Baruch Hu, Kein Tzarech Adam Achakach L'Amin Ba'atzmo, different shir. V'nira Lomar. You also need to have what I'm going to call amunah Mesorah and amunah Chachamim. And that's what Rav Moshe brings out and what he learns from here. V'nira Lomar. And it appears that we could answer as follows. Shakan namar hachiyuv sh'amuna sh'atzvicha liyos lana b'divrei ha'neviyim u'b'divrei chazal hi sh'tiyah ki'ilu ha'adam ba'atzmo sh'amazos me'kosh baruch. The amuna that we must have in our chachamim, in our gedolim. Amram is the god of hador. The Gemara says that's befavorish, so to Yud Beis Aleph, I believe. Amram gadol hador haya. It's not a new word that someone coined. The Gemara tells us that Amram was the god of hador. When our Nevi'im, when Chazal, when our Gevudolim tell us something, Rav Moshe is adding a different aspect to what it means to have Emunah. Shekan Nemar Hachiyuv, these two psukim about Yosef. Because Yaakov, we don't have any transcript anywhere in the Torah that Yaakov said this. So how could Rashi say one is from Yaakov and one is from Yosef? They're both from Yosef. We learn from here the obligation that Emunah needs to be to us in the words of our Nevi'im, I'm translating it literally, and the words of Chazal, Chachamim, Zichron Alev Racha, our sages of blessed memory, Hi Shatiya Ki'ilu Adam Ba'atzmo Shamazos Me'kosh Baruch Hu. It's as if you, when you have a Mesorah, Musar, see Rashi says by 318, Hashiman Zem Musar Lahem, Hashiman Zem Musar, Masur Bi'adam Yaakov Mi'Yosef. When you have a Mesorah, Obviously, I'm talking about a Torah true Masorah. When you have a Masorah from the Nevi'im, from Divrei Chazal, it is if the person himself heard it from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Velo yachshav atzlo rak kishmia ela kiraya mamish. And he shouldn't hear, there's a footnote, one second. He shouldn't, and it should not be considered, it should not be considered to him as if hearing it is just like a raya, it's just like a proof. It's not that it's a proof, it is the word of God. It's not a proof to the word of God, it is the word of God. Vilafiza nimtza memela sha'amnam Yosef amar sasimanim halalu v'Yosef atzmir hizkir as a kabbalah me Yaakov v'areza etzo shekibel ki'ilu shekibel zos ba'atzma me'a kosh baruch. And therefore, how can we answer our kasha? We can say that Yosef said these both of these statements on his own. Sha'amnam Yosef amar sasimanim halalu. Yosef said these two signs. He gave the magic words. However, Yosef Atzmo, his curse of Kabbalah me Yaakov. Yosef must have said, if Rashi says that one is from Yaakov, it must mean, because Rashi is infinitely more kadosh, smarter, wiser, closer to Kosh Baruch Hu. I know everyone's close to Kosh Baruch Hu on their own level. Rashi was worlds apart from us. So it must be Rashi saying that Yosef said the first statement, this is what Father told me. The first statement is from Yaakov. Yosef said, but to Yosef, it's as if he himself, if his father said it, if the founder of the Shiftei Ka said it, if the God of Adar said it, I have so much emunas chachamim in the truth of the Mesorah, that it is if I am hearing the word of God himself. Not it's a proof that God spoke. It is as if God spoke. So we have dual aspects to our Amunah, many aspects to our Amunah. But Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch says that the foundation of our Amunah is Kasher Yisa Omen Esayonek. He doesn't quote the Pasuk, but I'm quoting the Pasuk. And it's the foundation. And I believe in something. Without it, it can't exist. A building cannot stand without a foundation. Knesset Yisrael cannot survive without the foundation of Amunah. And he says it is the sole criterion, one criterion of truth, which is the firm foundation for every aspect of life. That is Amunah directly in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But Rav Moshe adds another aspect of Amunah that we learn from Yosef. And that is Yosef himself, God never spoke to him directly. Something I point out all the time. From Perek Lamed Zayin until he dies in Perek Nun, Hashem never spoke to him. Never. But Rav Moshe is saying the Mesorah he had from Yaakov was as true to him as the word of God. And that's what we call Amunas Chachamim. And with these two aspects of our Amunah, the belief, the pure, unadulterated truth, thank you, they even know what I'm trying to say, the pure, unadulterated truth in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the belief in the Mesorah from our Divrei Chazal, Nevi'im, Chachamim, it is as if a Kodesh Baruch Hu himself spoke to us. And when we have these two, Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll bring the Kates. The Kates, how beautiful it ties him back to what Rashi said. Pakad and Kates, the difference is 6. How will we bring the redemption and get to the end? With the acceptance of Torah, Vav Sivan. We accept the Torah by believing in Hashem. The first was, Anoch Hashem Elkecho, Shasisi Chamer Tzitzayim Beis Avadim. 6 Sivan represents pure, unadulterated Amunah in Hashem. But 6 Sivan also represents Amunah Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah Tzivu Lanu Marasha Kihilas Yaakov. So you could say that 6 Sivan is the dugma, not the dugma, the template, the blueprint for both aspects of Amunah in every generation. The purest Amunah in Hashem, the foundation, Kasher Yisrael Mesonik, and the Amunah in our Mesorah, Tar Tzivalanu Moshe. And it's as if we received it from Moshe, we heard it from HaKadosh Baruch himself. Maybe that's why Moshe had to say some of the Dibros. Hashem couldn't say all of them. Because we need to have that purest faith in our Amunah, Chanu, and then Be'ezrat Hashem. When we merit to live up to these ideals, it's a lifetime of work. A lifetime of work. We'll mamish be'azos Hashem b'zocha to merit the kates. Like this mother said when she was giving birth to her baby, to the mother's chatichya, without her husband, Roy Moshe, this is the first orphan baby girl of Operation Swords of Iron. She said, the emotional widow told Shai, While the incredibly difficult experience of this birth, it was hard mentally, it was hard physically. I heard my husband talking to me. I cried out to Hashem to please bring Mashiach already, so I can see Hashem, my husband, and Akash Baruch Hu, once again. Shvat stands for Shanishma Besuras Tovos Bekarav Mamish. Giving chodesh to all. I announced that next week she is Zoom only at 7 p.m. because next Wednesday night, very late, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. If you can't learn at 7 p.m., you can listen to the recording. You can listen to the recording at 8:30. Okay. Besuras Tovos, Chodesh Tov. Thank you to all.